Dialing 8th and Walton. Conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton conference call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
I hope you're holding on with both hands because it's another unpredictable week in the supplier world. My name is Jared Davis. Welcome to the 8th and Walton conference call. I'll be your personal ringmaster here in the retail circus for the next few minutes anyway. You know what? This is going to be an interesting show because I'm actually spending very little time right here in the studio. Emma, we are going to be out and about today, so let's get the microphone all queued up. Oh, and will you let me know when Stephanie is out of her meeting, because she's one of the first person I want to talk to. We're going to talk to Miss Stephanie Funk coming up here in just a few minutes. If you don't know Stephanie, you definitely know her work. Stephanie is a marketing consultant here in Northwest Arkansas, been on the scene for many years. Here's what we're going to talk to Stephanie about. You know how every week I'm yelling at you because I care about you. Put the phone down. Put the tablet down. Please close your eyes. Please go to sleep. Quit playing with your apps late at night. Get some rest. Well, I hope you listen to me and I hope you get some rest. But as long as you're going to be on that phone and you're going to be on that tablet, you might as well be using some apps that are going to make your life easier, things that are kind of more cutting edge and going to help out your business. That's where Stephanie really is an expert. So we're going to get her advice on a couple of the top apps that you may not know about, but she'll tell us why they're going to make your workday a lot easier. Also, coming up a little bit later, Mr. Ray Schluter, who is National Account Director for Connex, is coming in, I think, for his very first Focus on Suppliers broadcast. So after he's done, we'll run down there to the studio and talk to Ray about, Connex, great toys, great imaginative toys. And I'm really interested to see how e-commerce has affected that whole category and the whole Connex brand. So we will talk with Mr. Ray coming up in just a few minutes. So, Emma, will you let me know? Okay, fantastic. Okay, so while we're waiting to talk to Stephanie, I want to share with you one interesting thing that I've been following for the last couple of months, and that is dry cleaning. If you had to guess what business or industry was not going to be around in the next 5 to 10 years, would you immediately think dry cleaning? I don't think about dry cleaning every day. Maybe that's the reason that this business is in danger. But analysts have been following dry cleaning for the past several years. Hundreds of dry cleaners are now closing, and you can't point to one big factor for it. It's actually a combination of many things. Take, for example, this. Company cultures are changing, and you're no longer required to dress up every day of the week, or any day of the week in some cases. Then you've got the clothing manufacturers. They've replaced like silk and wool and other delicates with more cotton polyester blends that hold up to laundering, you know, better in standard washing machines. Well, then you've got other little factors like no smoking, for example. You got these no smoking rules in a lot of public places. So clothing doesn't require a whole lot of care in between dry cleanings. Then there are environmental regulations that have changed. Many cases in the major metropolitan areas, dry cleaners are independently owned. They've been in the family for a generation or two, and the next generation really has no interest in going into the family business and wants to do something different. So the business is folding. All these little factors are leading to the closing of dry cleaners. We may not have dry cleaning in the next 5 to 10 years. Just something to kind of keep your eye on as the analysts are looking and all these little factors are taking place. One other thing, along with like VCR repair that has gone the way of the dodo. Thank you, Emma. Okay, Stephanie Funk is out of her meeting and headed back to her desk. I am going to grab my microphone and head that way. Sorry. Okay, hold on. I'm out of here. Okay, put me on, Emma. I'm headed.
Check, check. 1, 2. Emma, is it on? Okay,
Thank you. Hey, we're back out and about in the 8th and Walton studios, and I am joined by Miss Stephanie Funk. Stephanie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. This is so much fun.
You know, for people that have not had a chance to work with you yet, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here in the Funhouse.
Right. So I love it here at 8th and Walton. So I am a marketing consultant here, and I do that for a couple of different businesses. I launched and built a really successful marketing agency, and so now I just do a little consulting on the side.
So as I said before, the reason I was so excited to have you here is because in the business, we're all tied to our phones, tied to the laptop or the tablet. And so as long as we're going to be there most of the time, we might as well be using our apps effectively and good ones to help us with the business. So what would you recommend that we all have at our fingertips?
So should I start at the top or the bottom? Because there's one that stands out above all of them, and it's Slack. If you're not on Slack, and a lot of people aren't yet, but it's really growing very fast, it can mitigate emails for whole teams. If you have conversations, you can organize your conversations by project or team or whatever. You can have private conversations and public conversations. And, you know, those garbled email chains, once you've had a conversation with two or three people and there have been more than one or two replies and you can't figure out what's the most recent message or what's the most recent version, this fixes that problem. And you can upload files to it. So you really can use it like an organized email system.
And this is a free app?
It's free, Slack. Now, you do, it's a little tricky to get set up, but I'm sure if you don't have it, somebody around you does, and they can help you get going.
Outstanding. What else do we have?
So my next favorite is OneNote. This is an evolution of online note taking, and a lot of people might be familiar with Evernote, which we all started using a long time ago to organize our notes. I never could get into Evernote because it just seemed so messy. Like, stuff was everywhere, and everything kind of looked like it had the same priority. OneNote is a much better user experience and user interface for note taking. And it's so simple to add graphics or files, to have different notebooks, to share notebooks with other people, to organize and to search. So Slack is number one. OneNote is number two. The third one that's really not nearly as sexy and is rather boring is called Tiny Scanner. And I'm thinking about this because we're kind of near tax time and having to sign documents and things. But if you get a piece of paper from somebody and they need you to sign it back, yeah, you can, you know, scan it in and edit the PDF and put your signature in that way. Or you can just take a picture of it with your phone in Tiny Scan and it converts it to a PDF and you have a signature saved. So you just press a button and it signs it wherever you want it to sign. And then you can send it either via text message or email or whatever back to the person who sent it to you.
Okay, so of the apps that we're familiar with, what do we need to be using differently, things that we have at our fingertips every day?
One common app that we all use and that I think a lot of people underutilize is Contacts. The notes section in Contacts is where you keep any little brain triggers about your last conversation or things you need to know about somebody or a company. And I think people are kind of scared to use the notes because they think that that could be shared. Like, you know how you share contacts with somebody? Like, if I wanted to give you somebody else's phone number, I would just share the contact from in the app. The notes don't go with that when you share. You can, like, I even have information about my daughters in my contacts. I've created a contact for each of them. I only have two. I don't know how the Duggars do it. I only have two. I cannot keep up with their birth dates. They're my daughters. There's only two of them. So I have, like, their birth date and their blood type in the notes section of their contact and other information there, too.
Very good. Okay, now I'm going to surprise you with this question. Biggest pet peeve on LinkedIn?
Oh, this just happened yesterday. A woman that I don't know, and I think she just reached out to me randomly and I accepted out of, you know, being in a rush or whatever, sends me a form email letter through LinkedIn about once every 6 months that sounds very personal, like, hey, Stephanie, I was just checking in to see if there were any strategies that you need working on. And she, I can see when she sends this that I've never once responded to one of those messages. And I just find that so annoying because the tone is like we're friends. And so then I have to do the mental gymnastics of, do I know this person? And she said, no, oh, wait, clearly I'm being marketed to. And I'm a marketer. So mm-hmm. I get what she's trying to do. And I'm curious to know if it's effective for her because it really just annoys me.
All right. That's interesting. I'm on there every day. And I'm going to do an entire show just on LinkedIn etiquette. I'm going to invite you back.
Yes. I think that's a great show to have because it is its own special platform. It's not Facebook. Don't use it like Facebook. But have fun. It doesn't have to be all stuffy.
Stephanie, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I love this.
Hi, my name is Charles Redfield. I'm excited to talk to you today about the upcoming Trends in Technology Conference sponsored by the Walton College of Business. This year, we've got a very different conference, but I think you'll also find it very engaging and very dynamic. We've got subjects like the future landscape of retailing, the next generation shopper, and also supply chain and that last minute delivery. We've got some fantastic industry leaders to talk about those things to you. People like Jamie Iannone, President and CEO of SamsClub.com. Linda Dillman, who's a retired Chief Information Officer from QVC. And also Mark Wallace, who's a Senior Vice President of Global Engineering and Sustainability from UPS. So we've got a pure e-commerce player, an e-commerce and brick and mortar player, and also supply chain, which makes the whole entire thing work. So you're not going to want to miss this conference. It's Wednesday, April 26th at the John Q. Hammond Center here in Rogers, Arkansas. And we hope to see you there.
I'm here with Ray Schluter from Connex, who's National Accounts Director. Great to have you here, Ray.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks.
How was your first Focus on Suppliers broadcast?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. First time on camera for me, so big deal.
What are some of the brands that we're familiar with in the Connex family?
Well, we've got some licensed product like Tinker Toys and Lincoln Logs, and then, of course, the classic Connex building kits and thrill rides and that type of thing. This year's our 25th anniversary, so it's a big year for us.
During your interview, I loved hearing you talk about the STEAM and STEM technology. Tell us a little bit about that.
STEM stands for science, technology, education, and math, and STEAM is science, technology, education, arts, and math. And, of course, those are big trends in toys right now, as parents are really trying to get their kids to unplug from the phones and the TVs and the tablets and that type of thing, to really work with their hands and their minds, creating things. And that's what construction toys are all about, so it's a trend that we've fully embraced.
I know that you're always watching the trends as far as what the kids are playing with. When you look at the parents, particularly the millennial parents, are they buying more into the STEAM and STEM technology more than, let's say, a baby boomer or a Gen X, or has it remained consistent?
Well, I think certainly millennials are more attuned to those new terms and that type of thing, and sometimes the boomers are looking for those things and might not know the exact terminology for it. But really what we're seeing with parents is they're trying to get kids to have those same experiences that they had when they were growing up and share that common bond of things that they played with, and here, try this thing out. And so if you can get a toy that's has an educational benefit or component along with it, that's just a huge win.
When it comes to Connex and the the building toy category, how has that transition to the Omni Shopper been, and do you see any difference from the traditional brick and mortar sales?
Toys does over-index in e-commerce sales because it's such a giftable item. So, our brick and mortar sales remain strong as well. So it's nice having partners like Walmart that really have a strong presence in both categories.
And for any suppliers out there who are aspiring to be a Walmart partner, what advice would you give them?
I would say it can be very intimidating dealing with Walmart. I know I certainly was very intimidated the first time I came down here to Bentonville. But what you'll find is the folks at Walmart are just ordinary folks looking for great products to put in the hands of consumers. And if you've got that type of product, they want to work with you as much as you want to work with them.
I appreciate you being here, Ray. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, suppliers. Do you have questions about Retail Link? Would you like to know more about analytics and replenishment? Good news. You can get your retail questions answered fast with 8th and Walton Chat. Just log on to 8thandwalton.com and wait for the chat box to pop up. Our merchant advisors are standing by to help you right now. It's absolutely free. Chat with us today without the wait. 8thandwalton.com/chat.
Welcome back to the 8th and Walton Conference Call. We've kind of had a tech theme going on this show, so I'll tell you what, let's keep with that tech theme and look at a few techie headlines. You know what I'm going to call this first story? You can't spell retail without IT. You know it's true. Our IT departments will make or break our business. And if you're struggling right now with IT, you're definitely not alone. You know who Zynstra is? Zynstra is a UK-based IT software provider. They put out a survey recently where they polled 300 IT managers and retail professionals here in the United States and in the UK. The most in-demand new technology for retailers? Mobile payment capabilities. That's well over 60% are in struggling for mobile payment capabilities. That was followed by the ability to have the customer self-checkout, scan as they shop, click and collect, and then something the retailers really want, in-store customer analytics. They actually asked the U.S.-based respondents about what the biggest challenges were here in our country. Biggest by far, budget, security, and lack of skills. The thing that kept coming up over and over here in the United States was just the cost and the effort of managing all the remote systems, followed by keeping the systems up to date and secure. That's no big surprise. I mean, you think about a big outfit like Walmart. I mean, any store that's pushing 5,000 locations or more, you just don't roll out a new system or a new technology to all your locations overnight. It is a slow rollout process. You go to a few stores here and it just spiders out and rolls until finally, 2 years later, when you've got the last store up and running, the technology's outdated. I have been through that headache before. I understand there's one Walmart store up in Toledo, Ohio that just last week got their first fax machine. Thank you, Emma. Now, as long as we're talking about the United States, let's talk about one of your favorite subjects, the American shopper. Do you know how Americans shopped in 2016? We've got new information from NPD Group's checkout tracking service that tells us who the big retailers were, the big winners. Here we go. As Americans, we are very value-driven consumers, according to the findings, with 95% of all U.S. shoppers saying they bought something in a Walmart store in 2016. Isn't that interesting? 89% of all U.S. shoppers bought something at a McDonald's. Those were the top two, Walmart and McDonald's, showing that we are really a value-driven consumer at heart. Third place was Target. 84% of all Americans shopped in a Target store last year. And I know what you're thinking. Every week, we talk about this big retail chess match between Walmart and Amazon. Where is Amazon in all this? Surprisingly, Amazon barely even made it into the top 20. Only 42% of consumers spent any money on Amazon last year, and that's according to NPD. Amazon does tend to attract a higher income shopper than the average Walmart shopper. However, they are trying to change that with the expansion of the Subscription Prime program. This has really caused the average shopper at Amazon to have a lower average income. Okay, I'm sorry. So I teased you there a little bit with the Amazon versus Walmart retail thing. You want a little bit of it this week? I'll give you a couple of headlines really quickly. BJ's Wholesale Club is being put up for sale. Rumors are Amazon may have a slight interest in acquiring the chain. On the other side of the board, Walmart is said to have interest in acquiring men's fashion retailer Bonobos, or Bonobos, however you pronounce it. I don't know, because as anyone I work with will tell you, I have no fashion sense whatsoever. There you go. That's your up-to-date Walmart versus Amazon for the week, and that is your 8th and Walton conference call for this week. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for tuning in once again. This is Jared Davis reminding you that your company's mission statement is absolutely worthless.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at ethanwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands, are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.